I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can also text us at 57500. You'll want to get your questions in early this morning. An abbreviated version of the KSL Greenhouse making way for BYU Cougar action and pregame coverage. So again, the show only till 9 o'clock, so you'll want to call now if you have questions. 801-575-8255. Good morning, Ton. We are starting the morning without Ton's microphone.
There we go. So I think we're abbreviated next week also.
Are we?
The conference?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so we'll be 9:30 next week. So get your questions and texts in early.
Yeah, thank you for that reminder. I was like, what? There's no BYU. There's conference.
That thing.
Thank you, Ton, for the reminder to all of us. You want to get your questions in early. We know people have a lot of questions as we start nearing the end of the season. And as the season starts to change, I mean, that's the one thing about fall I don't like. It's very abrupt. It doesn't just come in gradually. It comes in with a wham.
It does. I noticed Tim Hughes posted on Facebook a picture of snow in the High Uintas, and he said, from 107 to this in 1 week, ski season is close.
That's my only problem, because I love fall. I love the fall temperatures. I just love the changing of the leaves, but it just seems like, wham, it's here and then it's gone.
98 days to Christmas, is that what you're saying, Dave?
Yeah, Dave's always got to remind us that how much he loves Christmas.
You know, if you live in the right place, you don't need to suffer through the cold. You can still have Christmas.
There you go, Dave. Maybe you're living in the wrong part of the world.
So, plan of the week. I was at a football game last night and realized, like, I didn't send a plan to the week. But this time of year, I think we're almost obligated to do fall blooming anemone.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is one that's just so easy to grow. It tolerates shade, and it gives you fall flowers.
And it's beautiful. I'm looking at it on the website right now.
Yes. And so the fall blooming anemone is one that is very available, especially the last half of summer into fall. And people will see it because it's not in bloom and just kind of pass on by. And then all of a sudden, you'll see somebody's yard, and you'll see these along the side of the building or interspersed among a hosta, and they're in full blast bloom, and then everybody wants them.
Looks like they come in all colors, pink,
they
white,
do.
Purple.
They do. This particular one comes in pinks and whites. There's some other darker pinks and things, but it has, some of them have a daisy-like flower, and others look a little bit more like a simple rose. But the thing that's really good about these, that if you have shady locations and are lacking flowers in late summer and fall, this is one that will give them to you.
Yeah, this is one that I don't have in my yard because I don't have a lot of shade. And now that I have fewer trees, I have less shade.
Yeah, so if you don't have shade, the east or north side of your home or the east or north side of a shed or fence would be the place that these would want to be situated. They're native to China and Japan, where it's a little bit, oftentimes the weather's a little bit more moderated in the summer. It's a little more humid, and so we put them in the shade here just to keep them happy. But if they are planted in the shade, they just grow, and as long as they get water, there are very few pests and very few diseases that will get them.
Okay, so are they water wise?
They are moderately water wise, so they will need to be watered once established, once a week in the shade. So it's not too bad.
That's fairly water wise.
It is, it is, and they are one that will take a year or two to really get established. But after about their third or fourth year, you can expect them to be around 2 to 2.5 feet high and wide. So they do get some size to them.
All right. What type of soil?
Any soil, as long as it's not really salty.
Okay. So, anything else big about them and what we need to know?
Just be aware that they, as with many plants, they are poisonous. You know, and people hear like, oh, I'm not putting that in my yard. And I would dare say that probably 50 to 70% of the landscape plants that you have in your yard are probably poisonous already.
We just don't think about it.
Yeah, and so if you have small kids prone to putting things in their mouths, they'll spit it out, but maybe a little caution there. But these have been grown for years and years, and I've heard no reported problems because I think they taste so nasty that they're just spit out.
Right. Okay. And you can check out a complete article with pictures on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. I'm going to break a couple minutes early so that we can get to your calls. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you, taking your calls. Get your calls in early. Only 1 hour of this show today to make way for Cougar football. The number to call, 801-575-8255. And you can text us your questions at 57500. Right to the phone lines. Ann is in Provo. Good morning, Ann. What is your question?
My question is, I have a ground cover. I don't know the name of it. It was given to me 30 years ago by my mother. And it does beautifully, but I wonder if this is a good. It looks like a geranium leaf, but I'm wondering if this time of year is a good time that I could transplant some of it.
I wouldn't really. I don't know. It's not my favorite time of year to do it. If you were going to, what you would do to get it to survive is dig 6 inches deep to get as many roots as you can and just cut out, you know, a good 4x4 inch block or even a little larger and just move that whole thing so that it has the next month or so to try to reestablish the roots.
Okay. Well, I can do that. Can I ask another quick question?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
I had to take out a very old apple tree, which was shading a yew. And the yew is the kind that doesn't like the sun. And it's some of its leaves have been, or needles have been quite scorched this past year. Will it ever adapt?
Maybe. Sometimes yews can be quite sun tolerant. Once in a while, you'll see a yew hedge planted on a west exposure, and you think to yourself, you're not supposed to be there, but they do fine. So all you can really do is give it until spring. Don't do any pruning on it this fall. And give it until spring and let it shoot that new growth out and see what happens.
Okay. All right. I'll do that then. Right. Thank you so much for your help.
And thanks so much for your call this morning. Ton, you and I may be half asleep, but our listeners are wide awake. You told them that there's not a full greenhouse show next week because of conference, And they just want you to know next week is September 24th, not October 1st.
Oh, well, you know.
I'm stuck somewhere in September, and you're moving life right along, and you're very anxious for conference.
Yeah,
right?
I was consternated with Dave's love of all things cold. We're going to have to just put a refrigerator in there that he can sit in.
Right. He might be happier.
Yes.
I think you're right on that. So we do have a full show. I just checked the
calendar.
Next week. You scared our listeners to death that they're going to have to be without the greenhouse for 2 weeks. We do have a full show, 8 to 11 next Saturday. No fear.
Maybe if they don't start repenting, we'll do conference 4 weeks in a row so they can get extra listening. Just kidding. We won't do that.
Moving right along to the next texter. They want to know, how soon after planting grass seed do you put down starter fertilizer?
Immediately, because you really don't want to be walking on that soil. The day you put the grass seed down, you can put the starter fertilizer. Otherwise, you wait till it's germinated and then put the starter down 3 or so weeks after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's harder to do because the ground is really muddy and wet, and just because you have to water so much. And so you just put it down the day you put the seed down before you water it in.
All right. How do you know when to pick cantaloupe and butternut squash?
Cantaloupe, the stem will just come off on its own. Don't try to force that stem. And so the cantaloupe will develop it'll go from a gray-green to kind of a creamy yellow on the bottom. And then that stem, you can just tap it with your finger and it'll just come right off. And you'll know because from the stem end, you can smell that cantaloupe smell coming from it. And so when you're in the store and you see cantaloupe that have the stem still attached, or mm-hmm, it looks like they mm-hmm. pried it off with a screwdriver, those are not going to be very good cantaloupe.
Oh. Yeah, I always smell the end. If I don't smell cantaloupe, then I don't buy it.
No, it's not ready and it wasn't picked ripe. So at home, that stem will just fall off. Now on the butternut squash, the squash itself will go from kind of a shiny appearance to a waxy appearance,
mm-hmm.
almost like a muted waxy appearance. And then when you try to stick your fingernail in, it will not really penetrate easily. And if it does, no sap will come out. And so if you put your fingernail into a winter squash and there's sap coming out where you put your fingernail within like 10, 15, 30 seconds in there, it's not ripe. So you need to look for that dull kind of waxy appearance, and then when you put your fingernail in, it won't penetrate easily, and if it does, no sap comes out.
Our next listener says their zucchini and summer squash start out okay, but they don't grow very large, and then they fall off, and they're wondering what would be causing that.
It could be heat-related. Another thing could be that there may be some sort of a disease in them. If they haven't already, I would rotate where they're planting them.
Mm-hmm. Next listener says, is it better to cut down spent perennials now or let them die back and do spring cleanup?
If they have green leaves, leave them alone because they're collecting energy to produce next year's flowers and survive the winter. Now, if they've gone completely yellow, cut them back. But if they're still green and actively growing, even though there's no flowers, they need to wait until they get hit by hard frost.
Next listener says their pumpkins are already ripe and starting to go bad. How do they preserve them for Halloween? That's really unusual, isn't it? I can keep a pumpkin forever.
Yes,
if I don't
can.
Cut it.
So even if they're cut, you want to leave a good 6 inches of stem on the end and just put it in someplace cool around 70 degrees. So set it on top of a pallet or some wood or something so it's not in direct contact with the ground. And let it cure, but those pumpkins should hold for a good 60 days at least. Even if they're green and they have a little bit of orange on them, once they're removed from the plant, they will continue to ripen. But if they're healthy and they're not diseased, they should hold for a good 2 months.
And they should probably keep them on the vine until they're almost ready, right?
Well, if we're going to get a hard frost or they've had a hard frost and the plants are dying back, you can just pick them. But, you know, right now I've already seen semis of pumpkins going out of southern Utah County. And the fruit will hold if they're picked. But if you can leave them on the vine and they're healthy, I'd leave them on there for another week or two at least.
Does it sound like something else is going on there if they're starting to go bad?
Yeah. There might be some rot diseases or fungal diseases that have gotten into them. Sometimes they can get chewed on by a skunk or a raccoon, and stuff will get in there. But there could be different things going on. They should not be rotting already.
Harry would like to know what pruning should be done in the fall.
Only perennials, and you leave your trees and shrubs alone because they're needing to go dormant, and pruning stimulates growth and delays dormancy. And so the only pruning I really recommend is if something is a danger. So if you've got a tree that has a branch that looks like it's going to drop out, if you've got diseases in trees and shrubs, they need to be pruned out. But just for fall cleanup, we actually do that in the spring, depending on when the shrubs bloom. But trees, you can start pruning sometime in mid-January. But for now, if you can, I would just leave them alone.
Okay. Next person would like to know, how far should they plant grapevines away from other plants or trees?
Good 8 feet, 8 to 10 feet at least.
Yeah, grapevines are very aggressive, let me say.
They are.
Once they take hold, they are very aggressive.
Yeah, they just keep in mind that Virginia creeper and Boston ivy are related to grapes. The grapes won't fasten.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They are. The grapes won't fasten to buildings like Boston ivy and Virginia creeper, but they're in the same family. And grapes can be very aggressive. And so when you plant grapes in your yard, you have a row spacing of 8 to 10 feet to account for their width.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, so if you're putting them along a fence or something, at least 5 feet, but once those vines start to grow, if you've got trees or something, they still have this ability to somehow get into.
They crawl up in my snowball bush and they
have to be cut out.
I'm constantly just out there nipping off those, yeah, vines, which you can do, right? That's not a problem, but you have to be able to keep up with it. So it depends on how much time you want to spend out in your yard.
It really does. And those grapes, if you plant them too closely, at least once a month, you're out there pulling them out of adjacent plants.
At least, especially this time of year, mm-hmm, they kind of take hold. Next listener says they planted 5 lavender plants near each other. They all bloom beautifully in the spring. They cut them back after the bloom. Now, 3 of them came back and bloomed again, but 2 died. They can't figure it out. They're like dry and dead. What would have caused that? They're all in a drip system. Soil's the same.
Yeah, if you clip lavender too hard, if you cut it back too hard, it may not come back. One of the biggest mistakes I think people make with lavender is they cut them back like a regular perennial in the fall, and that will kill them a lot of times. And so when you cut lavender back, you want to cut the dead blooms back, and you can give them a light haircut, but they need to be left intact.
Yeah. Oh, you and I have talked about this before, where I had left a lavender bush and it just got totally out of control and I wanted to cut it back all the way. And you said, well, it'll die. So I've dug it up, planted a new lavender. That's my solution to that problem.
Yeah. And just find a lavender that doesn't outgrow the space where you're putting it, because old fashioned lavenders like Munstead and Hidcote can get a good 2.5 feet. There's varieties that get up to 4 feet. And so, but you can find more diminutive varieties that will stay, you know, 18 inches. So,
all right. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon 2 teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.